Housing Lender.
Welcome back to In Focus. Brady Bowman with you on this Tuesday, very fall-like October morning. First time brought out the jacket, but it felt good. I'm ready for that. I'm ready for all the fall stuff, getting ready for Thanksgiving, sort of. Mainly the food. I'm ready for the food of Thanksgiving. Some of the other stuff with it and the traveling, you got to do all that. I don't know. Here with Riley County Commissioner Ben Wilson and County Appraiser Greg McHenry. Any questions, give us a call. 785-537-1350 is the number to call. We were talking about ag use studies or surveys. You also have some commercial ones too.
Right. A little later in the summer, usually about August 1st, we mail out commercial property income and expense surveys. And some folks wonder, what on earth does that mean? Is it relevant to me as a commercial property owner or as a business owner? That's our way of trying to determine from year to year what the rate of expenses is typically for commercial property, what the landlord is facing in terms of any increases or changes in things like property insurance, repairs and maintenance, those kinds of things that they typically incur on an annual basis. And also helps us determine what market rents are. Everything from an apartment building to an office building, mini storage, et cetera. You know, many of the properties in our county in particular, especially in the Manhattan area, are rented or receive real estate income. And so that helps us analyze the income and expenses and the changes from year to year. And develop an income approach to real estate. That's one of the three methods of valuing commercial properties that folks typically use. And by state statute, it's considered the preferred method for commercial properties. So we're really looking to determine, you know, what typical rent might be on the west side of town in an office building or in a 12-plex next to campus that has two bedroom, one bath. You know, all that information gets analyzed by us. It's also information that by law is kept confidential. So we cannot share it with anyone outside of our office and do not share it with anyone outside of our office. I know some folks spend some time completing the forms and have questions about, you know, the security of it. We do not share that with anyone. But it's extremely valuable to us. And again, it's another one of those cost-saving measures for us. We could spend a lot of time visiting every commercial property and interviewing people on site when we could, or we could rely on them to tell us what they're facing, you know, what, how much their expenses have changed or gone up this year, or maybe potentially how they've had to drop their rents. You know, all that information is extremely important to us, and we do appreciate the response rate that we get from folks.
And those help, again, those help in valuation for your office, right?
They do. And, you know, we use the phrase fair and equitable a lot in our business. And that's really all we're trying to do is be fair and equitable by making sure that if you and I own the same 12-plex east of campus, across the street from each other, that one or the other of us isn't underpaying or overpaying their level of property taxes based on an incorrect value. And so this information helps us to really get those values as accurate as we possibly can.
Because these are two, in this hypothetical situation, these are two places, but in the same sort of market condition, so it should have the same.
That's exactly right. Yeah. We're always looking at the market. Some folks might be under-renting or over-renting. We're looking at what is typical, what's new, what's usual. What would a potential buyer expect to get in terms of rent? What would a potential buyer be expecting to have to pay in terms of expenses? Because that's a direct reflection on what the sale price would be, likely be. And it's also something that our counterparts in the fee appraisal industry, lenders, you know, those are, they're using the same methods to value those properties. So it does help us to be accurate, does help us to be fair and equitable. And the surveys and the return of those surveys is very much appreciated and saves taxpayer dollars in the long run.
Especially when you're talking about places that do rent out, which is most places around here in a college town, that's pretty
right.
Key.
That's right. We use it for retail properties, for big box retail properties, fast food franchises, offices, warehouses, mini storage, apartments. Most if not all of our commercial properties in our area.
Of course, the lately, I don't know, probably what would you say, maybe the last five, probably for a long time, but especially the last 4 or 5 years when it comes to the commercial side, they kind of want to give you guys a lot of headaches too, probably because they're trying to get the same sort of deal that ag land gets in some ways, but it is different.
But it is, and you know, we're in one of those situations where Manhattan has had, in the Raleigh County area, really have had a long history now of appreciation of properties, residential and commercial. And sometimes, you know, we go through business cycles that change. They can be down in areas. Consumer wants and desires shift, and that can affect retail properties, for an example. But, you know, we're really all about what would those properties sell for. We're looking at sale prices of comparable properties, and we're looking at that income approach primarily as our two methods to determine that.
You know, one thing that I've been thinking about every now and then is with the growth of Manhattan in the area, the growth of Pot County as well. And obviously there's some of Manhattan that's kind of in Pot County.
Right.
When it comes to valuations and those things, does Raleigh County and Pot County pretty much have the same approach on valuation? I mean, especially when you're talking about a key in valuation, market conditions, and some of those, I mean, it's the same town, those market conditions are the same, but you could have the county line going from one street to the other.
Yeah, that's a good question. And the short answer is we share a lot of information with each other. So they'll share their real estate sales information on those commercial properties that are close to Raleigh County, those in the what we call locally the industrial park, East Industrial Park. And likewise, you know, we try to make sure that one or the other of us isn't over or undervaluing properties or maybe using a different approach than the other based on those sales that we see, based on the income and expenses that we see through our surveys and theirs as well.
And Howard, what's the latest on some tax appeal cases?
We still have quite a backlog at the Board of Tax Appeals, or BOTA, as we call them. And, you know, as I've shared with the commissioners, Ben probably thinks I'm a rundown record. I talk about it every month now. But, you know, the backlog continues to be there and grow a little bit, primarily because we have, in my opinion, kind of a cottage industry that's sprung up that are a few tax reps who are kind of using the system. You know, they're paid based on their ability to get some sort of reduction in value / taxes in the long run for their clients. And the unfortunate part of that is it really doesn't involve the property owners in most cases. You know, we would really like to talk to the property owners, the property managers, and work out any differences of opinion or even differences of value with them. Tax reps primarily do a lot of our commercial appeals now. They're typically maybe an attorney, usually from Kansas City, Chicago, something like that. And, you know, they're paid based on their ability to get a reduction, and they tend to use the system to get that. And sometimes that means stalling and prolonging the process.
It's very tedious when you get into that and understand what I've written a lot about it over years, talked with you a lot about it over the years, and every time I think I have it pretty well down, something else will come up, and I'm thinking, well, maybe now I don't know. There'll be some new rules, new laws that are kind of put in place, sometimes really kind of under the table, and I don't envy you guys sometimes in having to deal with that and go through those hoops.
Now, the legislature has been pretty active in the last, not so much last year, but the 2 and 3 years before that in the appeal process, you know, under the perception that the process wasn't taxpayer-friendly enough. I would say, I would challenge anybody to say that it wasn't taxpayer-friendly enough. There are two opportunities for everyone to appeal. You can choose one or the other, and that's when we mail our notices of value. Or, if you haven't used that option, when tax bills go out, do a payment under protest. Both result in an informal appeal, and informal by its very nature means you're sitting down informally in our office with the appraiser who set your value, and we would be talking to you about your property, making sure that we have it listed correctly, and discussing whatever you would like to talk about in terms of the value or the methods.
And again, just to remind people, I mean, you guys are graded on being correct and being within a ratio of the actual market value. So it's in your interest to be correct as well. So you welcome.
It is, you know, and that's something that gets lost in the debate sometimes. But we are graded on our work annually. And if we were overvaluing properties, that ratio study, which is a comparison of the county's values to actual sale prices, would indicate that. And we struggle to meet the threshold, the bottom threshold of those 90% requirements every year on commercial properties in particular. So, and statewide, same thing. You know, the numbers in verify that we're not overvaluing properties, but we do want to make sure our values are consistent and equitable and at market value or as close as we can be, to be fair to all of our property owners, all of our taxpayers.
Let's go to our last break. When we come back, we'll talk about some ambulance happenings and EMS and all that stuff that the county's transitioning to. Talk about that when we come back on News Radio KMAN.
KMAN weather is powered by Colbert Hills Golf Course and Restaurant, offering 27 holes of